Wall Street isn't buying it. Lehman Brothers, that is.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The stock market is turning into a daily vote of confidence, or more appropriately, no confidence, in the future of the financial sector and of Lehman Brothers in particular. Investors weren't convinced by the survival plan laid out by the investment bank's executives yesterday, and the stock lost another 7% on top of the 45% plunge it suffered 2 days ago. All this is having a ripple effect across the financial industry. Shares of Washington Mutual plunged to their lowest value in almost 2 decades. Now that Lehman Brothers is being forced to sell off assets, investors are on edge that other financial firms may have to take extreme measures to survive. Those nagging financial fears are hitting overseas markets this morning. Sagging banking industry shares are weighing on stocks in London, Paris, and Frankfurt, all lower by more than 1% at this hour. And Asian markets also fell sharply on worries of more credit market losses. Tokyo's Nikkei closed down 2% to its lowest level in almost 6 months. Stocks in Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Taiwan all lost more than 3%. The Dow will be kicking off from a modest 38-point gain yesterday, a third of a percent. The Nasdaq rose 0.8%. The S&P 500 was up 0.2%. And how does all that affect the rest of us? A survey out this week shows that U.S. companies aren't planning on doing much hiring for the rest of the year. And the situation could be even worse in Europe. As Megan Williams reports, the 15-nation Eurozone is feeling the weight of serious debt.
Europe isn't exactly plastered with for-hire signs these days. And given the heavy debt many EU companies are carrying, they have good reason to be cautious. For the past decade, major European companies took advantage of easy credit and borrowed like there was no tomorrow. Now consumer demand is down, oil's still up, and wages are rising to catch up with inflation. EU expert Francis X. Rocca says what makes things tougher is that banks are no longer handing out money like candy.
Companies for a while have been investing, that is to say borrowing, more than they've been earning, and they continue to do that. But now interest rates are going up, growth is down, and so they're squeezed.
U.S. business debt load is lighter. Companies like California's Cisco Systems have saved $500 billion in cash by keeping spending in check. Asian countries like Japan are even better prepared for the slowdown after tightening efficiency and streamlining the workforce. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Starting today, New Yorkers will have a new option for getting to work, one they haven't laid eyes on in years, the double-decker bus. The city is trying out a slick blue double-decker. It'll ply a few different routes on its month-long trial. Depending on how it runs and how passengers like it, New York City Transit may order up a small fleet. Ashley Milne-Tite has been looking into possible financial advantages.
Right now, tourist buses like this one in Times Square are the only double-deckers in New York. The regular city bus is long and thin, with a turntable device in the middle that helps it take corners. Charles Seaton is a spokesman for New York City Transit. He says that turntable needs a lot of pricey maintenance, so the city's giving the double-decker a try.
You're carrying more customers with a bus that is less complicated to operate and less expensive to operate.
Seaton says the double-decker seats 81, whereas a regular bus seats 60. Tourists who can get a seat on the trial bus will get rooftop views for a fraction of the cost charged by the tourist double-deckers. Miguel Ramos works for tourist bus company The Grey Line. He's not worried about the competition.
Our service is going to be greater, you know, and I think we'll have much more clientele.
He says there's plenty of room for a new bus on the block. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The Beatles earned a fortune with all their hits, and now Hasbro is hoping to capitalize, or perhaps more accurately, to monopolize, on Beatlemania. It's coming out with a new Beatles Collector's Edition of Monopoly. The game will be on sale before Christmas. Abbey Road is sure to make an appearance, and tokens include a strawberry, a silver hammer, a walrus, and even an octopus's garden.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. and by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at Medtronic.com.
We're hearing a lot about energy policy this election season, but until Washington can figure out what it wants to do about foreign oil or the man-made causes of climate change, we're largely on our own. To cut back on energy use, a lot of us are driving less or lighting our homes with those squiggly fluorescent bulbs. But as Joellen Easton reports, not everyone is sold.
Carrie Lape has a few compact fluorescent bulbs in her Long Beach, California home. She wants more, but first she wants some facts about dimmability and the mercury content.
I don't think there's one place to go and get all the information I need.
So what's keeping Carrie Lape from looking?
I guess inertia. I mean, this is something I want to do, but it just seems like it takes so much time.
The fact of the matter is if they spent 5 minutes online doing some research, it would be pretty apparent.
Jessica Jensen runs a website called lowimpactliving.com. She says she encounters people with questions like Carrie's all the time. She says if people took the 5 minutes, they'd find out there are lots of different kinds of CFLs, both dimmable and not. But the next question is the big one.
I shouldn't use compact fluorescents, right? They're dangerous. They have mercury. I shouldn't have them in my home.
Well, no. The amount of mercury in a CFL totals the size of the tip of a ballpoint pen, and increasingly a lot less than that. A mercury thermometer has more than 100 times that amount.
So I do think that people have to learn about the product, and we're going through a cycle, and eventually we'll get to a point of comfort.
As for Carrie Lape, she just didn't know that in California, CFLs have to be recycled as hazardous waste. So I jumped in the car with her, and we drove to the local collection center.
What are you dropping off for us today?
A compact fluorescent bulb, a couple of them, some regular light bulbs, some batteries.
Some might find this a hassle, but it just got a whole lot easier. Home Depot now has free in-store CFL recycling at its stores nationwide, no matter where you bought the bulbs. In Los Angeles, I'm Joellen Easton for Marketplace.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.